Jay, for those in our audience who have not heard of this issue, the National Institutes for Health, there's been an effort by DOGE, by the Department of Government Efficiency, to dial back on a lot of administrative costs. It's kicked up quite an uproar. First of all, explain to us what these grants are and what they are intended for.
The National Institute for Health provides about $35 billion in funding for biomedical research. And this can be some important stuff that includes research in basic science, as well as research that ultimately yields innovations in pharmaceutical products or surgical procedures. And so it's something that has generally been popular. So the question isn't, do we want research to improve medical science? The question is, how much overhead do universities require for conducting that research? And what are the dangers of giving them too much overhead? And what bad things might they do with that extra money? So that, I think, is the issue in dispute. And the NIH, in an order that they issued at the end of last week, said that they would be capping the overhead rate on the research they fund at 15%. So that for every dollar they spend on the research, only an additional 15 cents would go to cover overhead. Currently, most leading universities charge 60 cents for their overhead rate. And so the NIH ruling that came out at the end of the week would cut that down to one quarter of that amount.
I would venture to say that most of us, Jay, if we are making a charitable contribution, whether it be to the Red Cross or Samaritan's Purse or whomever, that we would want more of our donation to go to actually the cause as opposed to overhead. So how do these universities justify an administrative rate of that percentage?
They wave their hands and say, well, you know, research requires buildings and it requires labs and it requires electricity. All of which is true. The question is, how much does all of that cost? And universities are supposed to engage in an accounting endeavor where they add up all their overhead, and then they're supposed to negotiate this rate with the government. The trouble is that they've been negotiating essentially with their best friend for decades, who doesn't bother to haggle with them. So they have figured out clever accounting ways to add more and more expenses into what they call overhead, and then they negotiate with their friends who don't challenge them, and the rate has gone up and up and up. So immediately following World War II, the overhead rate was 8%, but it has now crept up so that at places like Harvard or MIT, it's approaching 70%.
Taking a look at this, then, if we were to compare grants that were given to universities and research facilities, Jay, from the private sector, do private sector grants also reimburse at 60%?
The taxpayer is the only sucker willing to pay this rate of overhead. No one else pays. Private foundations that also fund research grants in biomedical science, they pay overhead sometimes, but they pay a much lower rate. The range of overhead paid by private foundations is between 0% and 15%. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, for example, pays 15% overhead on their grants. The Open Society Foundation, funded by George Soros, pays 15 cents. The Walton Family Foundation pays zero. And universities take the grants. They're happy to take them, but they charge taxpayers 60 cents on the dollar when Bill Gates pays 15% on the dollar. Another problem here is that the rate not only has gone up over time as universities have already built out their research infrastructure, but interestingly, the universities that have more research grants charge a higher rate than the universities with fewer research grants. Which makes no sense. There should be economies of scale so that the more research a university has, that should spread the fixed cost of having a research infrastructure over a larger base so that their rate should be lower. But instead, their rate is higher. Similarly, over time, as funding for research has gone up from the federal government. Instead of having the overhead rate go down, it's gone up. So we have the opposite of economies of scale, which, again, is strong indication that we're seeing accounting shenanigans and not actual cost in these overhead rates.
Jay, there has ensued a great yelling and screaming and whining and rending of garments over all of this. But at the end of the day, if your real goal and your real concern was to bring about advances in medical science and medical technology as rapidly as you can, wouldn't cutting back on overhead costs and putting more into core research be an admirable goal rather than something that you're running to the courts to try to stop?
That's exactly right. And in fact, a number of media outlets have completely misreported what is happening. They've described it as a cut in funding for research. It is not. It's a cut in funding for overhead. And in fact, that cut in funding for overhead increases the amount that's available for research. So of the $35 billion that the NIH spends in total, they're simply reducing the amount of that $35 billion that goes to overhead and increasing the amount that goes to actual research. So the only people who are really unhappy about this should be the administrators who are having their slush funds taken away. Researchers themselves will have more money available for their activities, and the end consumers of that research, the beneficiaries of innovations in medical science, will benefit because there will actually be more money available for the research and less for overhead. I mean, the only fig leaf that the universities have in decrying this is their claim that they absolutely need that overhead to be able to produce any research, and that without that overhead, they'll have to halt projects and quit. I give you a solemn promise here that no significant research projects will be abandoned because of this decision. They will figure out ways of economizing, of discovering that they were, you know, wasting the money to cross-subsidizing other endeavors. They're going to figure out ways of continuing to do this because, frankly, this is good for research universities, even if the government gave them nothing for overhead. It enhances their reputations, allows them to raise money from donors, and it's, frankly, central to their mission. It's what they're supposed to be doing with their own money anyway. We shouldn't expect taxpayers to pay for every last penny of the cost of research overhead for them to conduct that research. They should conduct that research even if we paid them nothing.
Jay Green is a senior research fellow at the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Jay, we do have folks from Heritage on our show quite often, but tell us a little bit about Heritage.
The Heritage Foundation is a think tank based in D.C. It's been around for several decades now, and it is a leading conservative voice in America and plays a significant part in helping steer the direction of federal policy, but also is increasingly active in state policy as well.
And the website for the Heritage Foundation would be?
It's www.heritage.org.
Jay Green of the Heritage Foundation. Jay, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.